Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. And just before we go to our sponsors, I'd like to pass on my condolences to the family of Shane Christie, to some of his former teammates, and just say to people that are struggling, there is outlets out there for you. That's as much as I'll say as part of this, but I think it needs to be said. I'll be talking about this a bit later. Anyway, before we speak to our next guest, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap, a good selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food, and music Wednesday through to Saturday night. So give Father Ted's a call. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, it's been a busy old week in the world of rugby, and here to join us, as he joins us every Saturday morning, former All Black great, and I'm not paying any money because he was a great player, and he will tell you this. AJ Whitten, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Peggy. Good to hear your dulcet tones on the radio once again.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And obviously we met this Shane Christie. Obviously we pass on our condolences to his family, former teammates, and, you know, people struggling. There are outlets out there, and, you know, I'll be talking about this a bit later, but the main thing is we're going to talk about All Blacks versus Argentina last Sunday. The All Blacks didn't fire a shot. Argentina absolutely brilliant. We were outplayed. We were outpassioned. I have to say, you know, as much as we're disappointed with the All Blacks, a lot of credit's got to go to the Pumas on this one, AJ.
Oh, well, delighted. You see how much it meant to them to beat the All Blacks, ironically, here in New Zealand, but to beat them for the first time in their own country. Wow. You can imagine the fun and parties that would have happened afterwards, not just for them, but the crowd who were really entertained, got into it, great motivation for them there, driving them on, and you did right. They outplayed them, outmuscled them, especially at the breakdown, and the key thing out of it really was the discipline, which really is something they have to address coming into the championship matches against the South Africans at home here. So really got to tidy up that area. You can't play rugby with 30 minutes with the three players in the sin bin for 10. So they paid the price accordingly, and hats off to Argentina. Los Pumas, as soon as they came onto the field in the kickoff, they were really charged up for it. Their accuracy, their commitment, especially the pace of the game that they set into the forwards and to retain that ball. I'm very impressed with them. And we've got some homework to do, mate.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that there will be some change. I don't know what you think, but I think there may need to be changes. Obviously, one likely is that we are going to have a new starting halfback. And from what I'm hearing is Kyle Preston was supposed to play for the Wellington Lions tomorrow. He has been withdrawn by the All Blacks. I believe that he potentially starts. Obviously, they'll be looking at Caleb Clark. They'll be looking at where players are at the moment, because there is a lot that needs to be sorted.
Well, it depends on how you mean by a lot. If you say about a lot of height, well, you lack that, but we could be just stretching the point a bit. I don't think it's panic time. It's just, to me, that top 2 inches again. After their sound win in the first test, I just think they're on holiday mentally. And the Argentinians just came out with a mindset that they were just going to attack, and they did it extremely well. And certainly out wide, they looked dangerous. So go back and just rethink the plan. Don't change too much. They've just got to get us excited about playing in that black jersey, Piggy. And my word, they better, because I've got Eden Park next week, and we know the history there. So maybe a few minor changes. But just needing some really hard thinking on attack, and make sure they make their tackle, secure the turnover, and just get excited. Come out there with real intent to make a mark on the game, because that was certainly lacking last week.
And then in the other game in the Rugby Championship last week, South Africa 30, Australia 22, Marnie LeBrock was outstanding, but Australia really had opportunities to win that game. So, you know, like, they'll be looking at it thinking this was an opportunity that they had to win two in a row. Australia, I think, consider themselves unlucky, but South Africa, they're back on the horse.
Oh, yeah, we knew that. I mean, I was probably giving too much credit to South Africa because I thought they'd walk away with it, really, under the pressure they would be at home, losing in Joburg. But out at Cape Town there, a solid win. But my word, I thought this is a match that Aussie let go. I'm very impressed with them, their attitude, especially their counter-attack. Out wide with their three speedsters. You've got Wright, Jorgensen and Tool, and boy, they've got some wheels, and they looked extremely dangerous in broken play. So that's a strength that they've seemed to have brought on to their team, prepared to have a go and back themselves, and they've scored some marvellous tries, Biggie, in that two-match series, more so than the South Africans. Went back to the tried and true. They brought back Pollard again to just put up the up-and-unders there, with Colby chasing hard and Moody. We know they've got some pace, and it sort of worked for them, but not a very entertaining match. A bit of bash and crash, but every time the Australians tried to have a crack, they looked exciting. So Joe Smith's got them all in a good space. Go home against Argentina, they'll be confident, and they're expressing themselves really well on the field. But more importantly, they seem to be measuring up in the front. Consistent set piece, one or two scrums under the pressure from the Bocchi, but overall, big improvement in the forwards, and if they can maintain that work rate and that consistent ball, we're going to be in for one hell of a finish in this championship.
Absolutely, and of course then it should be in Australia. Unfortunately, a lot of injuries, but you know what, I just think that there's just something in this Wallaby squad. I think they're very dangerous. Pacific Rugby Championship, Fiji versus Tonga, Japan versus Canada. Well, I think these matches pretty much write themselves. Fiji are very, very good at the moment, and Japan, I think, just too good for Canada.
Yeah, you know, you're playing at home, you'd expect Fiji to beat Tonga. They are obviously one of the top teams in that Pacifica there. So, yeah, Fiji, Japan and Canada, that'd be entertaining. But Japan, yeah, again, playing at home there and using their pace out wide, should get home against Canada.
Absolutely. So we move on to the Bunnings NPC. Well, last night, I have to say, terrible conditions in Auckland. The game ended up being quite a... Well, the conditions probably added to the match, but Bay of Plenty 19 versus North Harbour 7 at Albany Stadium. I'll be straight to the point. You know, Bay of Plenty had a lot to play for. Had done enough to win. North Harbour showed glimpses, but I think it's just going to be a struggle for North Harbour this year.
Well, five up and five down. It is more than a struggle. Yeah, looking in big trouble. And I can't say too much about Auckland in the same sort of boat. But when you've got Eklund needing them from the front, they were dominant. They had a lot of time in North Harbour's 22-metre. Couldn't finish it off. A few dropped balls. Maybe pushing the ball a bit too far in spaces where there wasn't any gaps. But no, they did enough. And you've got Narawa and Mugabe Black there. They always look dangerous, but they just couldn't finish. One of those games, conditions dominated, though. It was a shocker, the rain, and I commend those hardy supporters there. They look cold, who were along there to support North Harbour and the Bay. But coming away with the points, they'll be happy after their loss last week, the Bay. So, yeah. Three out of five wins, you'd take that at this stage of the season.
Absolutely. So we go to the NPC games, the 205 games. Counties Manukau versus Taranaki. Canterbury versus Manawatu. Well, Counties Manukau, they've shown, you know, even though they're at the wrong end of the table, they've shown a lot of a lot of guts here, and then they've shown a lot of they don't give up. In fact, out of all the three regional sides, they've probably been the one that have actually have shown a bit of backbone. But I just think Taranaki will be hurting after losing the Shield, so I think Taranaki too good.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because usually after the Shield, you're a bit flat. And again, the Waikato, congrats for stealing it in the last seconds with a penalty. Playing at home here, they're a desperate situation too. They're going into round five with four losses. So, yeah, it's do or die day for them. If I see Satutu's gone back to number eight where he should be. I see Papali'i's not in the team this week. But they've still got Braden Leatham here at number nine leading the charge. So big match for them. Look, if there's going to be an upset, I think it could be here today. You think Taranaki too strong. I see Nawai's in at number nine instead of Crowley. They made a change there. The back line's still pretty similar. And you've got those old buggers in that forward pack for Taranaki. So on paper, yes. On the table, yes, it points to Taranaki. But I don't know, just today, counties, just think that maybe they may get them with Taranaki mentally not quite there.
Canterbury versus Manawatu, you'd have to say Canterbury all the way. I picked it last weekend, AJ. I picked Manawatu to beat Wellington. I think this will be a hell of a good game. I still think Canterbury will win it, but I think Manawatu have really shown us something this year.
Oh, yep, and you did pick it, and I got it wrong. And again, Manawatu, Southland, we are talking about these teams now who have got winning matches under their belt, more so some other well-known provinces. So they're playing some good footy, confident footy. But Canterbury, they're playing out at, obviously, Rangiora. With all the locals, it'll be chocker here. You'd think they'd be too strong. Have only made a couple of changes to the side there. Well, a few into their forwards, of course, to give them a run. May bite them back, bite them in the bum, Piggy. I'm not sure, but do not take Manawatu lightly. They're playing some good rugby. Fijian at number nine has been a great leader around the scrum there, and Lamapi in the centres has given him some solid foundations to build on. And yeah, it's going to be a cracker game, this one, but Canterbury at home to win.
Northland versus Hawke's Bay. Now, Hawke's Bay, yep, they had a loss last week. Northland really buoyed by that win at Eden Park. And you know what? I'm backing the home team in this. I'm backing Northland to win this one.
Well, I'll tell you what, you'll have a few supporters too. The Bay dropping a match, 3 from 4. They want to get back up to the top of the table, so this is a must-win for them. Again, Northland looked very good against Auckland and came away with the points. Their combination of Knock and Rahana there, very clever. Trainer in number 15 is always dangerous. So if they get plenty of ball to this back line, they're going to cause some problems. That's if they get plenty of good ball. So that's going to be the issue for me, with a very strong forward pack, again, led by Flanders, both brothers there in the back row, Walker Luari in the lock position. So, yeah, and Whakatawa at nine. So I'm going to squeeze for the away team and the Magpies, but, again, they're going to have to work hard for it.
You'll never be welcome back in Whangarei after that. Anyway, Tasman versus Otago, 7:05. You know, this game is going to be a close one. I think before what's happened in the last few days, I think Tasman will really be going for this at 100%.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of emotion there and a lot of respect paid to the passing of Shane Christie. So we've mentioned that. So hopefully it doesn't weigh too heavy on them. They go out and play the game for one of their lost comrades. And it'll be very pointed if they did beat Otago. So, yeah, a lot of emotion out there. Hopefully it doesn't get too much in the way of their game plan. But Mitch Drummond playing really well at number nine there, Harvilli. We mentioned them. They're a very strong team. And at home, I picked the Marco to beat Otago. But, again, Otago, putting their hand up. They're no easy beats. Leo Willey's playing exceptionally well in the number eight there with Casey and Hagers as his partners. Miller at number 10. Look, they've got a good little team here. It's going to be a cracker of a game.
Wellington Sunday, Wellington versus Auckland. Auckland need this win. They definitely do, because it's after last week, you know, they do not want to be 0-5. I'm back in Wellington now. Now, knowing my luck, I've been back in Auckland the last couple of weeks, and knowing my luck, and I think Stephen Bates, if you're listening, you'd be happy I'm back in Wellington, because you guys might have a chance. Caleb Clark's back for Auckland, but to be honest with you, you know, I just think Wellington's just going to be too good.
Well, both teams coming off losses. Wellington won the competition last year, NPC champ.
Yes.
Here they are, one win out of four. Auckland, 0 from 4. Two major provinces with some tremendous history. So, yeah, this is a tough. I mean, I'm a blue and white man through and through. So, very challenging, not only for the players, but also for us supporters and ex-players, I assure you. So, going down there, playing in Porirua, I'm going to stick with my Auckland. Again, have to win. We said that last week, and they got done by Northland. So they've made seven changes. I think Wellington have got six. So there's going to be a bit of disruption to both sides. It's just who wants it most. That's what it's going to come down to. A lot of, you know, three changes in the back three, four for Auckland with Clark coming in, Tangatau and Spencer. So hopefully they get enough ball to make some difference. But it's a pretty solid Wellington forward pack. And they've got Ruben Love at number 15 at the back, Garden Bishop, Sevilla, Preston, as you said. So on paper, it looks like a Wellington, the stronger team. But I just think Auckland just so desperate. I know they're away, but they just have got to get a W on the score sheet this week.
And the Shield Challenge, a big match, Waikato versus Southland. Now, I'm going to say this. I really would love to see Southland win this because it would be great. It would be back in the region. But guess who they've got up as their first challenge? Canterbury. So, yeah, you sort of hope that you want to see Southland win, but you could also potentially see the Shield go back to Christchurch. When really, I think the Shield needs to stay in the regions because that means more to them than some of these big centres. I'm going to pick Waikato in this one, AJ. Not by much.
Well, as I said, the crowd favourite would be Southland, because down there, man, they live and breathe their rugby, and they love their Stags, and great for the province. But as you say, this is the beauty of competition. Anyone on in any day can top the so-called favourite side, and here we go in here, Waikato, not winning by much in their matches, but still getting the wins. They've got some big players back, Leonard Brown, they've got Jacobson back. Lewaki's there, so yeah, and Ollie Norris, they're three All Blacks, so boy, has that boosted the Waikato side. And of course you've got Sopawanga at 10 there, and just running the cutter. So big matchup for the Southland boys, the Stags. Look, we all wish them the well, but I can't see them beating Waikato at home for the Shield on Sunday.
Anyway, the weekend, what's happening? Obviously, Fenton, Tigger, they're obviously listening big time.
Yeah, Fenton Little got the radio on there. Tigger's around, and we've also got a new member in Birdie May, another listener that's beamed in to the listen to your dulcet tones. So you're getting a lot of interest, Piggy. So whatever you're doing, whatever you're drinking in the mornings, keep going, because
it's coffee, mate. Nothing.
I see what your list of base is growing. And Birdie May, again, another female, but shall I say, well into her 80s. Maybe she's there. Maybe that's why it's so popular. I don't know.
Oh, thanks, AJ. Thanks. You have a wonderful weekend, mate. Take care.
Okay,
stand tall. Bye.
Bye bye.
AJ went absolutely brilliant, isn't he? Anyway, next up, we've got Stephen Harris as we talk a bit of Farah Palmer Cup and the Women's World Cup.
I'll smile, don't know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Get my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. And now, big shout out to Force Electrical. What a bring up there. So, big shout out to Force Electrical. You know, they are a wonderful company, I have to say. And I have to. Goodness, their website's not coming up, Brax. Okay, Force Electrical, they are well known for, you know, taking care, making sure their clients, commercial and residential, are met in a timely and efficient manner. They will give you quotes on electrical works. They're competitive, and I have to say, I've known the owner, Brax, Nick. I've known them for a very, very long time, and they are real good professionals. Their number is 021-628-341, or you contact Nick at forceelectrical.co.nz. Anyway, we might as well get into it, and we'll talk a bit of our women's rugby, and here to talk to us, Stephen Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Once again, the privilege and the pleasure to be on your show. Never a chore.
Consistency.
Are even better.
Yeah, they certainly are. As you know, AJ is really, really bringing, really getting a lot of listeners for us. But as he always does. But yeah, anyway, Black Ferns versus Japan. 11 changes to the Black Ferns. Demant's back. Georgia Ponsonby, Stacey Walker, Portia Woodman, Whitcliffe. You know, this game, obviously, they've made some changes. Sorensen McGee is back at fullback. You know, I think what Alan Bunting will be doing, he will look at some of these players and will make the big decision on who plays against Ireland.
Yeah, definitely a stronger look about this side that's rolling out compared to the side that won convincingly against Spain by 54 points to 8. I suppose there were aspects of that game that'd be a little bit disappointed just in and around handling errors. But like we say, I don't know if that was their strongest lineup. It probably left more questions than answers, if you know what I mean. I suppose the concerning thing was just the injuries to Alicia Litianga and also to Olsen Baker. Thank God her injury wasn't as serious as first thoughts, but definitely this side's got a much stronger look to it, and I think you'll probably find the Japanese might be a little bit more competitive than what the Spanish team were. We'll probably put it this way, they'll offer more threats.
Yeah, I think they probably will, and I think what we'll see is, you know, I saw them against Ireland. They gave Ireland a bit of a scare, but Ireland was always going to be dominant. And when we look at some of the games, there's some interesting ones: South Africa versus Italy. But this one, I think, is very important is for our neighbours, Australia. Australia versus the USA.
Yeah, for them, for Australia to progress, it's a game that they need to win. In fact, both of these teams, the USA as well, who for all intents and purposes started well against England, but at the end of the day just pretty much got overrun in their game. So this is an important one for the Australians, that they actually get off to a good start. They had a good head out against Samoa, too strong. This will be a step up for our near neighbours.
Absolutely. And then, of course, then we've got, obviously, the weekend of Farah Palmer Cup has really started with a bit of a hiss and a roar last night. Northland, the Cowrie, 39 over North Harbour, 22. Hell of an entertaining game, Stephen. But, you know, a good win for the Cowrie, as they'll be looking to, you know, push to take out that championship.
Yeah, they'll probably want that first 30 minutes back, though.
Yeah,
to be honest, but I'm on 17-0 down, and it didn't look good. They couldn't seem to get out of their own half. But then a few things started to click. Some passes started to stick. You saw all of a sudden the likes of Crystal Murray, you know, I've got to say, looking pretty lean these days. Just basically starting to get her hands on the ball, running the cutter at first five, Tamara Leaf, and at the back, a very good player, Pahutakawa Karaka, who's come back from a long-term injury, and boy, I feel for this girl. She, once again, left the field in the second half and looked like she was favouring an ankle. She's actually a very, very talented rugby player. I know probably Portia Woodman's probably, you could list her as the greatest player to come out of Northland. Crystal Murray not too far behind, but this kid, Pahutakawa Karaka, remember the name, she's going to be an awesome player. So once Northland got their game going, I was really impressed with their shape, their ability and their passing. Like, their passing was absolutely fantastic, and once they got that part of their game together, they got outside on the flanks. But boy, you and I both know these games start up front, and I think pretty much throughout this game, they just had North Harbour at scrum time, and that went to a big part of their winning the game. Some really good performances too from the skipper Hikitia Wikaira, I thought was absolutely outstanding on the carry, and I thought the loose forward Nora Mucker and Trish Mucker, the hooker, well, man, they were getting turnovers just for fun, and at the end of the day, just far too strong for a plucky North Harbour Hibiscus side who's shown some improvement in 2025.
Anyway, we move on. We start off in the Premiership, and of course, Counties Manukau Heat versus Hawke's Bay Tui, Manawatu Cyclones versus Auckland Storm. Now, I will have to say, and Bay of Plenty, they have the bye, and thank goodness they do, because I think it's been a tough season for them. Counties Manukau versus Hawke's Bay Tui, you have to go for the Heat on this one.
Yeah, very, 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 very much so. I think they'll probably be looking, looking to further sort of ensconce themselves on the table, sitting in fifth place at the moment on 7 points. They've won one game and they have two losses, so it's important they jump back on the horse to get back into that top four. The Tui, well, it leaked. They've been leaking a whole lot of points. Points against 145 points in a couple of games. Probably not what they're looking for, but I think Counties will be far too strong.
Manawatu Cyclones versus Auckland Storm. I think the Storm's far too good.
Yeah, no, I have to go along with you again. Listen, the Cyclones got to be happy with where they're sitting on the table, sitting in third place. Two games that they needed to win were against Hawke's Bay Tui and Bay of Plenty Volcanics, but now they get into the tough part of the program, don't they, against the stronger sides. And Auckland Storm, 2-from-2, they'll be hard to beat. I think the Storm take this out comfortably.
Then we go to the Championship, Tasman versus Otago Spirit. I know it's been a tough few days for the Tasman Union, but I be quite honest with you, I think Otago Spirit really look the goods in this Championship.
Yeah, they certainly are. They're probably the team to beat, possibly also Wellington as well, and of course the Taniwha have put themselves in the mix, begging your pardon, the Kauri have put themselves in the mix. You look at this Otago team. Boy, they're playing some really good code at the moment, to be fair. And, Tasman, like you previously said, there's a lot happened down in the Tasman area this week, and, our condolences as well to the Christy whānau and friends in terms of sort of what's happened over the last few days. But listen, I've got to go with Otago on this occasion.
And this one, to me, it's a game of the weekend. Waikato versus Canterbury in the Premiership. Curtain Raiser to the Big Shield match. This one is a tough one to call. I'm going to back Canterbury in it, because I just think they're just in such form at the moment. But I think this one's a tough one to call.
Yeah, once again, Canterbury travelling really well. 3-from-3. 15 points, so they picked up the bonus points. Waikato 2-1. Listen, I think Canterbury have just got a good thing going at the moment, and I think they'll be far too strong for the visitors home. Should be a good crowd though down there, as Curtin Raiser to that Shield Challenge tomorrow afternoon.
Well, Stephen, as we say, thank you very, very much. Are you doing any commentary over the weekend or having a break?
I'm just prepping for the Northland Taniwha Hawke's Bay Magpies game. Kicks off about 4:35 this afternoon. So, that's pretty much my weekend, but I'll catch a little bit of the Parapalma Cup. Of course, the NPC just rocks on, doesn't it? And those women's world rugby cup games that start this evening. So plenty to look out for. That starts about 11 o'clock, and you could just watch wall-to-wall rugby and the Women's World Cup until 6:30 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Absolutely, as we head down, probably next week's a big week in the Women's World Cup, big week in rugby, right across Aotearoa, to be honest with you, Stephen. I think there's going to be a lot of very nervous people come next Saturday, so yeah.
Absolutely. Let's hope we get a little bit of spring weather descend upon us for that game next Saturday night.
Absolutely. Okay, Stephen, you have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll catch up again next week.
Awesome, mate. All the best, mate.
Cheers, and, mate.
All the best to your listeners.
Thank you very much. Stephen Harris, isn't he brilliant? He's just, you know, somebody said to me, like, he can cover women's rugby, schools rugby, he can cover men's rugby. He is just a great commentator, a great rugby brain, and it's an absolute pleasure to have him on my show. Anyway, next up, no Joey Green this week, so we're just going to have a chat to former Kiwi international and former Warriors coach Tony Kemp. Well, everyone, I cannot get hold of Tony Kemp. I'm going to try one more try. If he doesn't answer, I'm going to try and get someone on very, very quickly. So I'll just play a bit of music, and hopefully I've either got Tony or someone else to talk a bit of NRL. Apologies to everyone. So I'll just play a bit of music.
about rest and recreation. Oh, you sing Bravo, Bravo. I'll save it for myself. I'm the first to get trigger happy, the first to think of my own hell. 'Cause I'm, oh, I'm away.
Okay, well, it looks like Tony Kemp has obviously forgot about the interview, so you hope, you know, that's the way it goes. So whether you like it or whether you don't, I will do the rugby league and I'll try my very, very best. Okay, so we review. Obviously, this is brought to you by Douglas Drainage. Now, at Douglas Drainage, every problem has a solution. All solutions have a cost. Minimise the cost with information and technology. Provided information with technology. That's what they do at Douglas Drainage. So you can give Ben Douglas a call on 0274 838 7373, or you can give them an email, diggins.co.nz, and that is the website of Douglas Drainage. Anyway, we might as well get onto it, unless Tony Kemp calls in the next 10 minutes, which I'm not expecting him to do. He did say he was down the line, so, and fair enough. Anyway, when I look at the last night's game, opportunities, absolutely lost. And, you know, they let the Parramatta side, a very good Parramatta side, Jordan Paulo, well, some of those offloads were superb, but Isaiah Ongi, what a fantastic footballer, and of course the Fox, brilliant, led well by Mitch Moses. I look at the Warriors, Big Leka, he is a football sensation. I don't think we've seen a sensation like that as a second row since the great Ali Laetiti. But I also look, when Wayne Egan went off, now we don't know how serious the injury is, but to me, when Tamari Martin came on, there was more speed and more direct running from dummy half. Now, Andrew Webster, I think, has been making key mistakes. Obviously, he wants Tamari to cover that hooker and half's role, but really, at some point, you probably, if Wayne Egan's out, you bring Sam Healy onto that bench. He is that explosive dummy half runner. He's that guy that just goes right through there. Anyway, on the Thursday night games, Penrith made a number of changes, very much depleted with injuries, but the Bulldogs proving what they are, that they're a contender for the NRL Premiership. Jacob Preston, what a fantastic game he had. A hat-trick to him, but I looked at the combination of Lachlan Galvin and Matt Burton. That combination is beginning to work really, really well. And I look at this and I say, well, you know what? You know, don't write off the Bulldogs in here, because the reason is the Bulldogs have actually proven everyone wrong. They've got a great forward pass. They have some fantastic outside backs. Obviously, Stephen Crichton, what a fantastic footballer. So, you know, you have to say, if you're going to put some money on anyone winning a premiership, you'd have to say, look at the Bulldogs. The Panthers, real concerns for them. And when I look at it, like for the Panthers, they could finish as low as 8th by the end of the NRL season. But they are still a threat once they bring all their players back. The later Friday night game, I did not see this coming at all. And the reason I didn't see it coming, because I thought the Storm, they're very good. They've been so competitive, minus Jerome Hughes. But the Roosters, 40. The Storm, 10. Marky Mark, 4 tries. But that the calves combinations, this and Tedesco on the edge, this Roosters side is still going to be a threat for anyone in the NRL in the NRL, and if anyone gets them in the playoffs, and for the Warriors, they do not want to be playing these guys if they're away. So we look at the weekend's games, and I'm sorry, this is going to be very, very quick. We have the Raiders versus the Tigers. The Raiders really want to win this one so that they could, because the Roosters have done them a big favour. Win this one, you secure top spots on the playoff, you secure the premiership, and to me, I think the Raiders have just been absolutely outstanding this year. You know, when I first looked at them playing the Warriors, and I was disappointed with the Warriors, but I'm going to say this: we did not see how the Warriors season was going to go, but we did not think that this Raiders side would be such a good side, and they would be they would end up coming into potentially winning the premiers coming into it. This is a very good Raiders side, well balanced, a great forward pack. When you've got a guy like Joseph Tapine and Josh Papali'i, and with the likes of Hudson Young, Hawksberg, Hoskins, Tom Starling, and you have a great halves combination of Fogarty and Strange, the Kiwi combination at centre of Chris and Timoko, and you have that exciting back three, that they do look favourites. Don't write off the Tigers. I think the Tigers have really shown some great back season form, and maybe giving Benji a bit more confidence as he looks towards another season. So I picked the Raiders in this one. Dragons versus Sea Eagles. Well, I think for the Sea Eagles, their chances of top eight are very, very slim to none. The Dragons basically are back to full tilt, and I think, you know, I think this one will be a tough one to call. I'm picking the Dragons in this one. I just think they're just a little bit too clinical on that one. We go to the Cowboys versus the Broncos. Well, I think despite not having no Adam Reynolds, no Ezra Mann there, I still think that the Broncos become too good for the Cowboys. Cowboys, very disappointing. You've got to wonder whether Todd Payton is going to be there at the end of the season. Just hold on. I think I've got someone on the line. Sorry, I've just got Tony Kemp on the line. Just give me a minute. I'll just have a quick chat. Actually, Tony, I'm going to put you straight to ear right now. So just give us a second, mate. Cheers. We've just got Tony Kemp quickly, so we'll just I will just try and get to Tony right now. Play a bit of music. Well, we've got Kempy on the line, and we're just going to talk quickly on the Warriors. Kempy, what was your thoughts on the Warriors last night, mate?
Yeah, mate. First of all, apologies for the late reply, but not surprised, to be honest. I did say on my podcast earlier this week that the one person that would make a difference in the game if the Warriors weren't really up to it would be Mitchell Moses, because he's playing for a Kangaroo jersey and he's the incumbent number seven, and it's exactly how it played out. I thought they were pretty unlucky with that last try, but you know, you've got to take those sort of decisions out of the game. The Warriors let the game get away from them too early. Just some, you know, some pretty poor decisions defensively, some long-range tries, and in the end, you know, Parramatta, who's sitting down the bottom of the table, they've just done enough to get themselves across the line. So it'd be, you know, a really interesting week next week with the three teams fighting it out to actually see who finishes fourth, with Cronulla and, of course, the Brisbane Broncos still to play today.
Yeah, well, when you look at it, the Warriors could finish as low as sixth. That's reality. Wayne Egan went off. Now, I know that a lot of people are big fans of Wayne Egan, but I felt Tamari, when he came into that dummy half role, gave us more speed through there. And if Wayne Egan's not there, you'd be good to put, whether you keep Tamari there or whether you bring in Sam Healy.
Oh, look, I think they'll bring Sam in. They've done that already, and leave Tamari on the bench. Does he miss the HIA? You know, to sit out the week, to be pretty disappointing going to Manly. And again, you know, I said that this week, you know, the unfortunate part, the two number sevens, Mitchell Moses and Daly Cherry Evans, have so much to play for, and Daly Cherry Evans going to Manly this week. It's his last game over a bookie. So, you know, I thought the effort was really good from the Warriors last night, just some really poor one-on-one defensive decisions, and you could tell that from the collision early on, that both teams had shown up to win the game. And for me, if you broke it right down to the, you know, to the nitty-gritty, I just thought, they, you know, having Mitchell Moses in that seven jersey, setting up a couple of tries, his kicking game really got them home, just with those long downtowns and making them come out of their own 20-metre line. And even though they got a couple of return sets, the Warriors, from their kicking game, that probably was the difference for me. And you'd have to say with Daly Cherry Evans next week, they'll look at that as the blueprint to try and keep the Warriors at bay. It's shaping up to be a really good finish to the season. But like you said, they could end up sixth, they could end up fourth, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Obviously, we've seen some of the games at the weekend. Bulldogs over a depleted Panthers. Roosters have basically have done the Raiders a favour. I've taken the Raiders over the Tigers. I'm actually picking the Dragons over the Seagulls, the Bronx. Sharks versus Knights. Can your former club do us a favour, you think?
Well, you know, the only thing that goes against the Sharks, I find it highly unlikely that the Knights will beat the Sharks. But you always see it when a coach basically steps down, and there becomes a more relaxed atmosphere around the club, because the players tend to go and take a deep sigh of, you know, a big breath and go out there, and everything seems to fall their way. And we've seen that time and time again when coaches sort of, you know, hand their keys in and their boots. And so the only way they'll win it, I think, is if Cronulla lose it. I just think Cronulla, you know, they're too good at the moment. They've got too much to play for, which is a top four finish. And Craig Fitzgibbon will make sure that they know that. So, yeah, I want the Knights to win. Will they win? Probably highly unlikely.
And the Dolphins, obviously, against the Titans on Sunday. You know, I think, well, you know, the Roosters were just so fantastic last night, Kempe. They were just, you know, Marky Mark four tries, and I think he's an outside shot for the Kangaroos too.
Yes.
I just think the Dolphins and the Titans, I think the Titans will win this. I think the Dolphins now realise that their chances are none of getting in that top eight.
Well, the eight are settled. You know, you have a look at that now with the Sydney City Roosters making that game theirs last night, and puts them in the eight and puts the other teams 4 points out of it. So, Will the Dolphins want to finish on a high? I think they'll be disappointed that they're not in the eight. I think they deserve to be in there this year, the Dolphins, but they've let themselves down in the last 6 weeks. And the Titans, again, you know, their coach is gone. It's another week of turmoil. And you know, do they go out there and sort of, you know, play for what? To say, you know, look at me for next year, you know, because a couple of those players in there fight for contracts. It'd be, again, another interesting game, but there's nothing on that one. I think now that we know the two big games which everyone will be looking forward to, do the Broncos win and do Cronulla win, because in effect that has on what the Warriors do next week. All those three teams go in there fighting for that fourth spot. And from a spectator's point of view, I think that's probably what we all want, don't we? Is we want to look at next weekend and go, well, who's going to get it? Is it the Warriors? Is it Cronulla? Or is it the Broncos?
Well, you have two bites of the cherry, too, Kempe, two opportunities. Tony, I have to move on to another interview, but I'm just going to give you a call on my cell because I've just got to go for another interview, which I pre-recorded, and I'll just give you a call straight afterwards. Cheers, Tony. Thanks a lot.
No worries. Cheers, mate.
That was Tony Kemp. Good old Kempe. He's genuine guy. We'll give you his, we'll have a chat to you. So next up, I have an interview which I conducted with Zion Dale.
Welcome back to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM, and this segment is brought to you by WaterSmart. Weekend mission sorted. Wash the bait stanchions, rinse the boat, and keep the wife's tomato plants happy, all with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries. Different sizes to suit your property. Take control today. Contact watersmart.co.nz and take control today. I've probably butchered that app, but joining us on the week that was in sport from One News Sport, Zion Dale. Good morning, Zion. How are you, mate?
Good morning, mate. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, listen, mate, nothing better than talking to you, but we will not mention a football result midweek because, believe me, I am going to get some absolute stick from my next guest, Seamus Martin, about this. But we have a look at the week that was, and, of course, then we look at the All Blacks versus Argentina. To me, I felt the All Blacks were outplayed, outpassioned. It doesn't look good signs. We still have trouble with our midfield. We just don't seem to be the creative All Blacks we were.
Yeah, you're bang on. And I think if there was one performance from the French series, the first Argentina game, to the second game over the past weekend, there needed to be improvement. And it was almost like they went a step back. It just didn't seem cohesive. It looked like there were 15 guys on the park that have just arrived on the day and started playing footy. Nothing was sticking, losing the aerial battle. It was not a pleasant watch. But I say that about the All Blacks, but you've got to give credit to Argentina. Yep. Who were fantastic. Mm-hmm. Especially in the air, their backs looked just dynamic and they were on song. And I mean, it helps when you've got a passionate crowd behind them like they did. But a lot of questions going into the South Africa series. And I think if there's one way for the All Blacks to prove themselves or show that maybe that performance was a one-off, it maybe didn't turn up on the day, it'd be the World Champions.
Absolutely, and I think that's going to be interesting to see what changes, if any, Razor makes, because I believe he's got to make some changes. I'm picking Caleb Clark to be in the starting 15, maybe, and probably a real smoky here in Kyle Preston, who I think so,
just with the injury woes that they have at 9 at the moment, I think some changes will be injury-forced. I've seen he's been pulled from playing for Wellington this weekend, so perhaps that's a little insight into, the injury toll that the halfback stocks are taking at the moment.
Absolutely, and of course then, during the week, well, TVNZ's had a good old week. They secured the NPC and Heartland and Farah Palmer Cup for next season. Of course then, they've secured the World Cup. They're all always games free, select games free. Obviously, there will be a pay-per-view. There will be some a pay element to it, which is to be expected. Now, Zion, have you been buying coffee for the boss, Mel Robinson, telling her that your passport's up to date, and trying to distract people not to go to America and trying to get yourself in there? Because there'll be a few people that are obviously have been knocking at Mel's door about this.
I've been telling everyone around here, mate, that America's a terrible place, horrible place. I'll go to make sure so no one has to put themselves through that.
Oh, you'll take one for the team. Oh, yeah, you're such a great guy. Yeah.
Team player like that, mate. No, look, fantastic news. Of course, I work here, and it's great. You know, I love sport, and being a part of it, I hope, would be fantastic. But, great news, I think. Just in general, I know it sounds biased because I work here, but free-to-air sport's great. It's access to for everyone.
Yep.
Everyone gets to watch, and there's football. What is it? 48 teams or something ridiculous?
Yeah.
42 teams at the World Cup, and to be able to for the country to watch the All Whites games free-to-air is absolutely fantastic. It's how it should be when big events are on. whether it's rugby, football, rugby, whatever it is, I think everyone deserves the opportunity to watch. And I love the World Cup. You know, it's always something every 4 years. My dad and I always sit down and watch. And you know, it's games of, even if you're not a football fan, there's always drama and there's always great results. So no, fantastic news this week. From TVNZ.
And of course, sadly, during the week, Shane Christie, we won't go into how he died. That's still up for, obviously, debate until the coroner's report comes in. But very tragic, and that's another player gone. Due to, you know, we look at these brain injuries that are concussions that more or less, you know, they lead on to other things. And, you know, like, it's a concerning thing. You know, as per usual, you know, the statements come out from New Zealand Rugby and then the New Zealand Rugby Players Association, but, you know, I see a lot of radio silence about it, and I believe this issue is huge. Down the track, I will be doing a show on this because I think it's very important, but whether, you know, a player gone, you know, when do we put our hand up and say, how do we make this stop?
Yeah, terrible, terrible, tragic news. Throughout the week, you know, and you just see by the admiration from his former clubs and teammates, the person that he was and who he meant to a lot of people. It raises the conversation again. I think, you know, one life is too many. And now, you know, it's a trend at the moment. And like you said, another life that's lost. And, you know, there's got to be more done from it, from my perspective. But yeah, I'm very, very sad news, and just something that, you know, rugby's a game that brings people together, and you know, it's got us together talking about it. Do you know what I mean? And but to be talking under these circumstances is just terrible.
Anyone that is, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a rugby player or anyone that is having these problems, there are so many people, there are so many places for you. Seek help, speak to someone. Really important. Anyway, the O-League licences came out. Auckland FC, Christchurch United, Slava Milan, who's very much is a benefactor for Christchurch United, no Phoenix, and they are going to take this to court.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, great news for the South and Christchurch. I mean, you know, I'm from Wellington and live in Auckland now, and you know, there's two teams to support, the Phoenix or Auckland FC, and, you know, you get a lot of football, you've got a team to support week in, week out, and, you know, down south, they don't have that. I mean, you know, to an extent, like what we do have here in Auckland and Wellington. So I think it's absolutely great news for the South, and just, again, shows the progression of the game in this country, that, you know, all of a sudden, players down in the South have something to aim for, and you know, this O-League will take them to Club World Cups, you know, should they win. For the Phoenix, I mean, bitterly disappointed, and you can tell by the statement that they put out, you know, taking this matter to higher powers. Look, to be honest with you, I was quite confused with the whole how this works, what it means for National League, and I guess the permutations of what this league is. But I've since got my head around it, and I think what stood out to me is the South Melbourne team that's been selected over the years, perhaps. I mean, you know, they play under the Asia football, I guess, umbrella.
Right.
And, you know, and over in Oceania, it's the islands and New Zealand. And, you know, I just thought it was a bit odd to have a Melbourne team in there where they've made it very clear that they play on under the Asia umbrella in football. I'm sure over the next few weeks there will be more questions asked about this process. But, you know, there's two sides to it, right? Someone at the end of the day is going to miss out and is going to be disappointed. I just don't think the Phoenix and many other people thought the Phoenix would miss out.
I think it probably was a compromise really reached because of Auckland FC and Phoenix competing in both the in the A-League. So I think that compromise was met. Warriors last night, 22, Raiders 26. The Eels 26. I'm going to say this right now. The Warriors let the Eels out to a lead. They came back. All of a sudden, their favourite subject, the bunker. Where the hell was that knock on?
Yep. And, I mean, look, there's there's two sides to look at it. From what I thought, that was definitely a try, even if Dimitrik didn't touch it, which he did admit post-game. Was that not backwards? But at the same time, you've got to think the Warriors probably shouldn't have been in that position at all for a top four side going up against an Eel side who have who failed to strike this season. You know, it's if the Warriors want to show their credentials and their finals credentials, those are the games they should be winning and winning well. But yes, look, the bunker, it's goodness me, there's always something. It's never plain sailing, and you can't just sit on the couch and casually watch the Warriors, can you? It's always something that's been happening, but yeah, very unlucky that's the ruling for that. I mean, yeah, look, from my perspective, I think he did touch it, but it went back, play on, the try is scored, the Warriors probably kick that conversion, Pompey scores under the post, and they hold on to win. But yeah, I mean, look, you got to go back, you know, before the 74 minutes before that or whatever it was, and errors, just costly errors, lapses in concentration.
Yep.
They, you know, so many times this season where the Warriors have got off to a good start or back-to-back sets on the line, and it's just that one moment where the team, the opposition, one missed tackle and they go down the field and score.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think with one game to go against Manly, which won't be an easy beat, it's Daly Sherwin's last game, it's at Brookie as well, so... I mean, that you know, poses probably more of a challenge than last night did. But I think the top four hopes are gone. I see Sharks or Brisbane overtaking the Warriors. But it's yeah. I mean, the run of injuries that they have had hasn't helped either. But they're still a good enough side and showing that they can win footy matches and stay in it against top teams. It's those lapses in concentration. If that happens again in the finals, teams will just eat up.
Absolutely. So the weekend ahead, Women's Rugby World Cup, Black Ferns made a number of changes as they take on Japan. We have some NPC Big Shield Challenge on Sunday for Southland. Yeah. And, of course, Liam Lawson, just on Liam Lawson, in the latest practice round, he finished 14th. A big last end of F1 for Liam Lawson, for him to make an impression.
Yeah, before the summer break, I think, was it the two races, he found some really good form, top 10 finishes, and you just really hope that momentum continues. It's really important that for this weekend, and qualifying is huge for him. You know, he needs to be there or thereabouts in the top 10, because he's shown that once he gets a place there over the last few races, you know, he can hold his own, and he can battle it out, and, you know, he can drive that car. But I really hope that momentum before the summer break continues, because he's also got to prove his worth for a seat next year as well.
And of course, Big Chill Challenge, because big weekend of sports. You know, I look forward to the sporting weekend. Obviously, are you working over the weekend, Zion?
Yep, I am. I'm here now, actually, just writing up our Warriors match wrap. For goodness me, it's the same storyline from the last. Well, I mean, they won a few times, but those, like I mentioned before, those lapses in concentration, just really hampering them. But no, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Shield Challenge, actually. Southland, I think that's
Okay. I am 50-50, and I tell you why. If they win the Shield, do you know who they've got next? Canterbury.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it would be cute. I tell you what, last night I was at the North Harbour Bay of Plenty game. I think I was the only one there, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
It felt like that.
It was a shocking game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's just a real shame, you know. Like, I mean, great game. It probably doesn't help that the weather wasn't great and the Warriors were gone. But I was really let down by the turnout, the atmosphere in the crowd. I know it's an NPC game, but, geez, there's some really good players out there. And to watch them live as well... you know, you really see their worth. Imoni Narawa, Mark Telia, Leroy Carter, like, these guys are fantastic footy players. But yeah, I was, you know, you watch it on TV in the regions probably more often. Fantastic turnouts, and that's great. You know, that's why I mentioned Southland and you know, the turnout that they get. But yeah, I went to the NPC game last night, and it was just a real shame. You know, there weren't too many people there, but there's some really good footy on display.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, the hard working Zion Dale. Melody Robinson, if you listen, you know, this would be a guy to send to America. So we'll wrap it up there. You have a wonderful weekend, Zion.
I might get that in writing. Thanks, mate.
Okay.
Thank you, mate. I really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Bye. Okay, that was the Irondale. Next up, we'll talk to Seamus Martin Football. Welcome everyone back, a quick turnaround here. Okay, just before we get on to football with the big guy, a big shout out. If you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on that property, Auckland property market, this is a man you need to see. He's professional, he's ethical, and he will give you attention to detail and he will provide the result you want. Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson in Epsom. Give Robert a call if you're looking to buy, sell or get on the Auckland property market. His number is 021 737 949, or you can email them r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Anyway, here to join us, the big fella from Between Two Bears podcast, Seamus. Good morning to you. Seamus Martin.
Morning. Fresh off a week down in Palmerston North at the New Zealand Secondary Schools Football Tournament, where my Hamilton Boys High finished third in the country. And it was actually Scots College of Wellington beating St Kent's 3-0 in the final for their first ever national title. But a great week of football down in Palmy, where they're only packed in for the final day, but some really top talent on display down there.
Absolutely. Anyway, we might as well get into it. Obviously, the week that's been, Auckland FC win the worst penalty shootout in history. And then OFC Pro League, the New Zealand teams to represent New Zealand in this are Auckland FC and Christchurch United. No Wellington Phoenix. David Dome, not happy. Threatening legal action. Just some of your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I'm very surprised to see Wellington Phoenix not making that lineup in the OFC Pro League. I don't think we've heard the end of this. And I would suggest they named eight teams here initially, a representation from Fiji, from Papua New Guinea, from Solomon Islands, Tahiti, Vanuatu, two, as you mentioned, from New Zealand and one from Australia. I wonder whether if the Wellington Phoenix do push through on this, looking to lift the lid on how they got to the decision, whether we might see their inclusion plus one other. Because I think if the Wellington Phoenix open the door, there'll be representations from Fiji and Papua New Guinea in particular who had multiple bids who would be interested in the outcome of this. So I don't think we've heard the end of this. Be interesting to see how firm Oceania Football stick to their principles on eight teams in the inaugural season. But look, wonderful for Auckland FC. It's been a heck of a week for them. You mentioned the worst penalty shootout to defeat Sydney in the quarterfinal. They take on Heidelberg in a match that's been rearranged, and they play tonight in that semi-final. Heidelberg, who tipped over the Wellington Phoenix. And they've announced their new kit, their new documentaries out. It's all been Auckland FC this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, but big ups to Christchurch United. I know Slaven Milan, who has been the benefactor of Christchurch United, he is aiming in the future to try and get an A-League team to Christchurch. I know he's got some deep pockets, but I think you need some bigger, he'll need to meet people with deeper pockets if that is ever going to happen.
Oh, look, absolutely. I think it's fantastic for football in the South Island to have professional representation. Look, there is one curious thing around that Christchurch United bid, and look, on the pitch, they haven't qualified for the New Zealand National League this season. So, you know, in terms of their domestic form, you know, they're not exactly setting the world on fire, but you're right, what they've got off the pitch in terms of the setup down there with their own facility that they operate, it's one of the best. They do wonderful work in the junior space every year, hosting the Christchurch United International Cup. And obviously very big plans for the future. There's amazing things going on in terms of sporting infrastructure down in Christchurch as well, with the new Takaha Stadium, the indoor facility. So, look, I think it's wonderful if you you take a step back and look at the broader New Zealand context, both for Christchurch and South Island football, don't forget to have a professional team and set up. And I do wonder whether this is the first steps of them looking to put an A-League bid in for a possible A-League expansion as well, and follow Auckland FC's path and have one foot in the professional competition in Australia and one foot in the OFC Pro League as well here in Oceania.
Absolutely. So then we move on to the Northern League men. Squeaky bum time, as Sir Alex Ferguson used to say. So we'll go through these three games quickly. Auckland City FC versus East Coast Bays. West Coast Rangers versus Manurewa. Well, I think they're both already relegated. And Tauranga versus Fencibles. The Tauranga Fencibles game, I can just see nothing but a one-all draw there. West Coast to beat Manurewa, but they're both sides already relegated. Auckland City FC versus East Coast Bays. You know, everyone is fighting. You do not want a bad day today, because there are so many opportunities that could be missed.
Yeah, well, there's really only three fixtures that matter today in Northern League football. You're right. Tauranga City versus Fencibles, that's a mid-table match. There's nothing really riding on the result. West Coast Rangers and Manurewa have both been relegated. That was confirmed last week. So really, they're scrapping for who gets the wooden spoon and who doesn't. The first match that we talk about is Auckland City versus East Coast Bays. East Coast Bays, your mates that just won't go away, and still, mathematically, on the last day of the season, if they were to get up and defeat Auckland City and the other results go their way, they could find themselves squeaking in fourth place and into the National League. So, look, a wonderful position for East Coast Bays to find themselves in going into the last game of the season. I think if you'd said to them at the start of the season, it'll come down to the last fixture and you'll have your destiny in your own hands, they would have ripped your arm off. But I can't see them going that far. I do think Auckland City, with their backs against the wall, will win this game. There is a little technicality in that Auckland City have to play a number of their under 20 players. There is a percentage rule of players and minutes played must be by under 20, so expect to see at least four players in the starting lineup for Auckland City that are under the age of 20, which might have a bearing in that result. But I think the experience of Auckland City around the pitch is too strong for East Coast Bays today.
And then we go to, obviously, Bay Olympic versus Auckland City Reserves. I'm going to go Auckland City Reserves. That's a nothing game for either side. And then we go to the two big ones. This determines everything. Birkenhead versus Eastern Suburbs. Western Springs versus Auckland United. This decides who's going to be in top four. This decides who wins the Northern League.
Yeah, look, whoever's come up with the draw before the season has started has done an amazing job of preparing us for some drama and tension on the final day, round 22. You're right, Bay Olympic Auckland FC Reserves is a nothing game for that one. I think that finishes as a draw, maybe a win for Auckland FC Reserves. But the title will be decided between Birkenhead United and Western Springs. It's Western Springs who go into the final match with an advantage, knowing that a win will secure them the Northern League title. They take on Auckland United, who are scrapping and hoping to hold on to third place. And then on the North Shore, it's Birkenhead United, who are in second, a point behind Western Springs, up against Eastern Suburbs, who are also trying to find their way into the top four. Look, it's all to play for here, but I'm going to go with form on the table for those final two fixtures. I'm going to say that Western Springs defeat Auckland United and win the Northern League. Birkenhead defeat Eastern Suburbs and confirm second place. Auckland City will go to third place on goal difference, and then it'll be a case of what's the score between the goal difference, I should say, between Eastern Suburbs and Auckland United to see who rounds out fourth place. It is going to be a thrilling final round of Northern League football, and if you are in Auckland, get down to your local pitch and support the clubs, because there is going to be drama aplenty.
Absolutely. Now we look at the we're looking at the Northern League Women's, and I might as well get rid of the easy games first. Hibiscus Coast versus Ellerslie. I think Ellerslie too good. Western Springs versus FC Tauranga, who secured their place in the Northern League for this season, but I think Western Springs too good. Fencibles versus Auckland United. Eastern Suburbs versus West Coast Rangers. Now, I think Auckland United, you know, I think they will beat Fencibles and win another one. Eastern Suburbs versus West Coast Rangers. I'm going for the ladies out in the east to win this one.
Yeah, really interesting. You're right. I think Auckland United versus Spensables, Auckland win that game and win the women's premier title. But Eastern Suburbs have a big opportunity to actually leapfrog West Coast Rangers on goal difference. So they're in 44 points with a positive goal difference. West Coast Rangers on 47 points in second place. And the wobbles have just come into West Coast Rangers. So I'm going to agree with you on this one. I think Eastern Suburbs win that. And they pip West Coast Rangers, who 2 weeks ago, well, they were ironing up the title, weren't they? They went there, and they had that midweek blip, and they've just let that slip through their fingers. I think Auckland United win another title. Eastern Suburbs finish in second, West Coast Rangers in third, and Western Springs are already confirmed for fourth place. So those will be the four teams advancing to the Women's National League later on this year.
Okay, just quickly, the Oceania men's under-16s, and of course New Zealand will take on New Caledonia. So both sides are qualified for the World Cup next year in Qatar. So, you know, this one could be very, very close, and I think, you know, New Zealand will really want to win it to still keep their dominance in Oceania football, but everything's getting a little bit closer these days, Seamus.
Well, these two teams met in the group stage match and it finished nil all after 90 minutes. So New Caledonia have really put some work into their youth international program. So they do line up on paper as underdogs. New Zealand have won this tournament for many, many years. Both teams, as you mentioned, have qualified for the World Cup, which is fantastic for them. I think New Zealand win this game over extra time, perhaps. We might even go to penalties. But there is real interest in the match for third place because for the first time, Oceania has three positions going to the Under-17 World Cup, which will Papua New Guinea versus Fiji, the two teams that lost the semi-final matches. Papua New Guinea losing 3-0 against New Zealand. Fiji defeated in a penalty shootout after they were unable to be separated by New Caledonia. They met in the group stage match, Fiji winning 2-0, and I think the Fijians will book that third place and go to the FIFA Under-17 World Cup. For Papua New Guinea, if they were to get up, it would be their very first appearance on the global stage and would be wonderful, wonderful reward for some hard work going on behind the scenes up in Oceania's biggest country.
Absolutely. So we go to the EPL weekend and we started off Chelsea versus Fulham and a bit of a London derby. So that's the first game. Then I'm going to do these. Then the next two are Manchester United versus Burnley. I don't want to talk about Manchester now, you know. Spurs versus Bournemouth. And Wolves versus, and then we go Wolves versus Everton. Now, look at that first one. I think Chelsea probably too good on this one, Seamus.
Yeah, I agree. I'm 3 from 9 from last week's pick. So I've gone from 7 from 9 to 3 from 9. So my tipping last week was terrible. But I think Chelsea are a smoky for me for the title. So I'm going to tip the home team there in that West London derby. Chelsea to beat Fulham at Stamford Bridge.
Manchester United, Burnley, I'm going for a United win, hopefully.
I agree with you. I think the Grimsby result is a bit of a blip. Burnley,
you had to bring it up. You had to. You know.
We'll be struggling back into the Premier League, although they won last week when I tipped against them. But Man United at Old Trafford to beat their near neighbours, Burnley.
Spurs versus our big bill, our sugar daddy's AFC Bournemouth. Oh, you know what? I think Spurs will win this. I think under Thomas Frank, they look so good.
Well, they tipped up West Manchester City last weekend, so I'm picking Spurs at home to win that one as well. So for the first three matches, I've gone with the three home teams, but I'm going to sit on the fence for the Wolves versus Everton game, and I see that one as a draw.
We think alike on that one. I think we definitely think alike. Anyone that takes their picks, do not go mad at us. Anyway, so we move on. Sunderland versus Brentford and the final game for the Sunday, Leeds versus Newcastle United. I'm going to go Sunderland over Brentford.
I've picked a draw in that one. Sunderland back at the Stadium of Light. I know they had a brilliant opening round win there, but I think that one's a draw. I think Brentford might battle it on an away point on that one. And I'm going to go with the Magpies with Newcastle to beat Leeds away from home. They'll be stinging from that defeat to Liverpool, right in the dying stages, and they'll bounce back with an away win against a newly promoted Leeds side in my mind.
Okay, we have four games and probably four crackers. We're going to start off Brighton versus Manchester City. I've gone for a draw here, Seamus.
I've actually tipped Brighton to heaps a bit of pressure onto Pep Guardiola after losing to Thomas Franks with Tottenham Hotspur last week, so I'm picking Brighton to win that one over Manchester City.
And then we've got Forest, Nottingham Forest versus West Ham. I'm picking a Forest win. I'm picking Chris Wood to score a goal. And Nuno, if you're listening, take him off. We need him fit for Australia. And so I'm picking that.
Yeah, look, the West Ham listeners that... that have got used to me backing against West Ham. This should be no surprise to them. Chris Wood and Nottingham Forest, I'm picking them to defeat West Ham up in Nottingham there.
Now the big one, Liverpool versus Arsenal. Whoa, this is a huge one.
Yeah. For a match day three contest, this could determine the title, which way it goes already, now, which is huge.
I have gone for an Arsenal victory. That Arsenal looked good.
That is a big call. That's why they call you Big Call Amon. Look, I'm going to...
They call me a lot of things, Seamus. They call me a lot of things, but we can't say it on air.
Well, look, I can't tip against Liverpool at Anfield. I know over the past few seasons they've struggled when they've taken on Arsenal, and Arsenal have dropped matches against, on paper, lesser opponents, but I think this Liverpool side are really starting to click into gear. And just that last-minute victory against Newcastle shows me that there's a fighting spirit amongst the Reds this year. I think they're too strong for Arsenal at home.
And of course, Aston Villa versus Palace. Well, I'm going to sit on the fence and go for a draw, Seamus.
Yeah, I could see this one finishing on as even at the end of 90 minutes, but I'm tipping the home team. It seems to be a theme for me this match day round. So Aston Villa for me to defeat Crystal Palace at home.
Well, big fella, you have a wonderful weekend. Next week, a big week, not in New Zealand sports, not only the All Blacks South Africa, All Whites versus the Socceroos, and I think we've got a great chance.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see the Soccer Ashes back in action. That match will be on Friday in Canberra. Perhaps not the most exotic locations for Chris Wood to get back down under, but look, we're looking forward to seeing the All Whites back in action. Wonderful to see Ryan Thomas being able to pull on the national team shirt. And let's just hope, for Darren Baisley's sake, that everybody that is in action this weekend gets through unscathed. They're able to get onto the plane, get down here, and I'm sure there will be a big crowd in at Go Media Stadium on a Tuesday to support the New Zealand team against the Socceroos. We don't often get to see them at home, so it's an awesome opportunity for people to get in and support the All Whites.
Awesome stuff. Seamus, you have a wonderful weekend, mate.
And you too.
Cheers. Seamus Martin, brilliant as per usual. Next up, we've got a man from Australia, Gordon Bray.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a hippie trailhead full of zombie. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A lemon bow and a blue. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I'm back from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. Forbidden snow and mention now. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender, and I have to say the men at work, the men down under, our man from down under, back from his European holiday, the great man, the voice of Australian rugby, superb broadcaster Gordon Bray. Good morning to you,
Eamon. Lovely to be back with you, and I just don't know what all the fuss was about while we were away. We were away for about 7 weeks. And it rained and rained and rained. The weather was miserable here in Australia, particularly in Sydney. But as soon as we got back, the sun came out, and it's another glorious day today. So timing is everything.
Absolutely. Well, while you've been away, and I know you've been keeping on the Wallabies, they have really turned things around. Joe Smith, what a wonderful coach. Probably a few weeks ago was his greatest international coaching moment as a coach, as far as I was concerned. Very unlucky against South Africa, but really, I know there's a lot of injuries to the Wallabies, but there's a lot of optimism as well, too, Gordon.
It was a fantastic win at Ellis Park. We hadn't won there since 1963 with John Thornett's side, and it really was against all expectations, although the Wallabies clearly thought they could do it and had that winning belief. But as you say, Joe Schmidt, he's been transformational in his 18 months with the Wallabies, and we're now getting some consistency and also very much a squad mentality where, although we are losing players, the attrition rate has been very high. The players coming in are stepping up and playing above themselves. So, you know, that's very gratifying as well. But we're gearing up for Argentina. Team had the squad had a week off, and they're now reassembled, and they've got Argentina in Townsville next Saturday, and that's going to be an afternoon kickoff, Eamon, at 2:30. Back-to-back test matches against the Pumas.
Oh, yeah, and it'll be a huge weekend of rugby. Obviously, we also look at the women's team, the Wallaroos. They've got a huge match against the USA. I think this is very critical that they need to win this, the Wallaroos, because the USA, they're no mugs, Gordon.
Although they were, they conceded a lot of points in their opening game, you know, they were playing England, the number one team in the world. And the Americans are a very athletic team. I think I'm accurate in saying there are more female rugby players in the United States than there are male participants here in Australia. So it's been played in the colleges for a long time. And, yeah, they're gearing up. This is a do-or-die game for Australia. They can clinch a quarter-final spot if they can down the Americans. They're playing under Jo Yap, an English woman who's winding up her brief after this World Cup. But they certainly played very well against Samoa, 73-0, scored some nice tries. They've come a long way in the last couple of years. We're not in the same bracket as New Zealand or England, but certainly they're up for a win over the United States. And interesting, Charlotte Kaslik, the Sevens Player of the Year, the World Player of the Year, former World Player of the Year, can't get a run in the 23 at the moment. So the Aussies were certainly on fire against Samoa.
Absolutely. And, of course, big weekend in Sydney Rugby, the Shoot Shield Final.
Yeah, well, Benji Marshall's team, the West Tigers, they played their not this weekend, the previous weekend. They had about over 20,000 people there, Leichhardt Oval, and so I'm going out there for the Rugby Shoot Shield Final today, and I'm actually going to call the third grade grand final, very low key. But Eastern Suburbs are playing Sydney University, so that'll be a lot of fun. They'll probably have about 15,000 people out there. Glorious day, and one of our really iconic venues like Art Oval, so really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Shoot Shield, you know, they I remember speaking to Matt Burke last year when he said the crowds at Shoot Shield were huge.
Well, Eastern Suburbs, which is my old club, they have a synthetic field down at Woollahra Oval, and it's been a real game changer. Even in the wet weather, it's a perfect playing surface, and it's certainly something for all rugby clubs to keep a focus on, I think, because it just makes so much difference. Eastern Suburbs are playing the Warringah Rats. The Rats came through and beat North last week, Northern Suburbs, and it was East and North in the grand final at Leichhardt Oval last year in front of 15,000 people. And North's actually dropped the ball over the line in injury time, which would have given them a victory in that grand final. But they were beaten by Warringah last week. And Warringah is Rod McQueen's old club. So the Rats, a very physical forward pack. And they'll really take it up the Eastern Suburbs. But I think the Beasties go in as favourites in this game.
And, of course, you've just completed a cricket series in the Northern Territory in North Queensland. South Africa won the series, but that last one-day international, Australia were able to score 420-odd runs and a pitch which must be a concrete pitch because that was, and then was able to destroy South Africa, but a really good series and a very close series.
Yeah, well, there is so much cricket going on at the moment, you can't keep up with it. But certainly the South Africans outplayed us up until that last game, and that's crazy when you have 400 runs scored. But look, all eyes now are on the Ashes series, the first test in Perth on November 21. And I've got to say, this is the first time we've had a first test that hasn't been in Brisbane for over two decades. Brisbane will get the second test, and it's going to be a very intense series, Eamon. The final fifth test will be played in Sydney from January 4 to 8 at the SCG. I'll certainly be up there for that one. But, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic series, I believe. England's last Ashes test, I hate to remind them, was in Hobart in January 2022. They were chasing 271 for victory. They were none for 68 and lost 10 for 56. And that was the problem with their batting in that last Ashes series in Australia. They never got past 300. But there is one big factor that's taken place in English cricket, and that's Brendan McCullum.
Baseball.
And it's interesting, a lot of those batsmen that played in that series, Pope, Stokes, Root, Crawley, they're all be back there again. And even with the Australian bowling attack, Stark, Boland, Cummins, Green, that was the bowling attack in Hobart. So, yeah, Australia's an ageing team now. A lot of the players are in the twilight of their career. And with Brendan McCullum at the helm, I think they've modified baseball. Not quite the high-scoring rate, fearless approach. There's a slightly more conservative batting approach now, I believe, if the occasion warrants it. And I think that's crucial. So it's going to be a fabulous series, and it all gets underway on November 21 in Perth.
And also, having a look at the NRL, I tell you something, Gordon, these NRL games, and I know you're a rugby union man like myself, but I love all sports, but these NRL games have been absolutely fantastic to watch. They've been close. They've been competitive. And the TV ratings have been going through the roof for NRL.
Yeah, the NRL is absolutely booming, and it's been very tough for rugby here, but the Lions series has given us a huge injection. I used to call the NRL on radio back in my ABC days, so I used to sit out on the sideline, and I've always thoroughly enjoyed my NRL. Look, you've got to say that win by the Roosters over the Storm, it was Craig Bellamy's 600th game. What an incredible guru Craig Bellamy is. But no one got it to Arce. Wallaby winger, four tries. How on earth did we let him go? Can we get him back for the World Cup? I hope so. But, it has been, it's been quite spectacular. Ivan Cleary resting 16 players against the Bulldogs. Very controversial, but he made it very clear that they're chasing their fifth straight premiership, and they really needed to rest those players. The Bulldogs prevailed in that game and consolidated their first top four finish, I think, in 12 or 13 years. So well done to the Bulldogs. And at the moment, it's Ricky Stewart's Raiders on top from the Storm. Bulldogs, Warriors. Warriors in fourth place. Panthers back in seventh. And the Roosters back in eighth. So it's certainly going to be fascinating as we head towards the pointy end.
Oh, well, I can't wait for the playoffs. I think we're going to have some cracking games. Now, Gordon, we had a chat, and we always have a quick two-minute chat that turns into a good almost 20-minute chat because we both like a chat. But you tell me this wonderful story, one about former Wellington player Duke Williams and one about a former Wallaby, Tim Gavin. Can you just tell us, can you regain now? Now, as long as one condition, if Tim Gavin's coming to New Zealand, do not send him my way because I might be a bit scared.
Well, Timmy Gavin, his son Archie is playing for the Eastern Suburb Beasties this afternoon. He's a terrific player. And so Tim Gavin in 1996, we were right at the end of the start of professional rugby. Greg Smith was the coach of the Wallaby team, you'll recall. And they were over on the spring tour. And I was going over to call the test matches for Channel 7. And I was on the Qantas flight in Bangkok. And the Qantas steward came up and said, Mr. Bray, would you like to go up to the pointy end? I was in business class, but would you like to go up in the pointy end and have some silver service dinner? And I said, oh, that would be fantastic. And I said, do you know who else is on the plane? He said, no. I said, Tim Gavin, the big Wallaby number 8. This head steward loved rugby. He said, oh, good, we'll get him up there as well. So we were both in first class. We stayed up all night. We drank them out of all of their alcohol, spirits, beer, you name it. We had the silver service. We got to Heathrow with shocking hangovers. We then met up again at the baggage collection at Edinburgh Airport, Tim looked like death warmed up. He had no sleep. He had a very bad hangover, and they lost his bags. They lost his bags. But he just had a phone call from Greg Smith to say, Tim, you're playing tonight against the West of Scotland. So he didn't have any boots. He didn't have a mouth guard. We drove down to Perth, and we got there mid-afternoon. Tim, they gave him a hot shower and found some boots, found a mouth guard, and we played the West of Scotland. The ground was almost frozen over. And because of the injuries to the Wallaby side, Dirk Williams, the trainer, actually played. The former Wellington flanker who played for Eastern Suburbs, he played. I think he might have scored a try for the Wallabies in his one and only appearance. And guess who was man of the match for the Wallabies?
Let me guess, Tim Gavin?
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's a moral in that story, isn't there?
Yeah, okay.
Take your opportunities and make the most of them, whether it's on a whether it's in the first class lounge or on the rugby field. Absolutely true story. Dirk Williams had a magnificent game. And he'd been playing first grade. He was captain down at Eastern Suburbs. And Timmy Gavin, well, he was just a champion number eight. The tragedy for him, he injured his knee in a club game before the World Cup in 91 and missed out on Australia's great triumph that year in the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, I have to say, it's always great having you on, Gordon. You tell some wonderful stories. I hope that you haven't given Tim Gavin my number if he ever comes to New Zealand to try and sort me out. But it's a wonderful story. It's and it's good that we know these stories. Dirk Williams, well respected in Wellington, damn good. He was a damn good open side flanker for the Wellington Lions. So yeah, some memories there. So yeah. Obviously, big weekend, much planned for apart. Apart from Shoots Hill, much planned else for the weekend, Gordon?
Not really. I'll be watching the match from York with the Wallaroos taking on the USA in the early hours of the morning. But just to finish, in that Wallaby squad, Pete Samu has been recalled. Ala Alatoa is back. Harry Potter is back from injury. So is Harry Wilson back as well.
Great.
But no Will Skelton. He's going to miss the Argentinian games, but they're negotiating with him to hopefully come back against the All Blacks. So we'll have to wait and see, but that'll be a huge loss the Wallabies without Will Skelton.
Will Skelton has been absolutely outstanding for the Wallabies. And believe me, you can tell him to start his French club when he comes up against us.
Yeah, well, he's a world-class player, isn't he?
And superb. Absolutely.
He just made a huge difference for the Wallabies.
Oh, he certainly did. I know, and when I spoke to Adrian Barry from Off the Ball in Ireland, they rate him so highly because he plays for La Rochelle in France. And
yeah,
they just say he is such a warrior. Anyway, Gordon, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch up in a month's time when we come closer to, you know what, Bettislow Cup time.
Beautiful. Thanks, Eamon. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, mate. Isn't he just absolutely fantastic? Just a great bloke. Okay, next up the panel, it's Patrick McKendry from Senior Journalist, One News, and the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield.
Yeah.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. And now we have our panel, and joining us on line one, from One News, senior journalist, Patrick McKendry. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
And
how are you?
Excellent. Excellent, mate. Excellent. And it's just to keep the St. Thomas's alumni, the Ultimator going, the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield.
G'day, Eamon. Hey, Brady, how are you, mate?
Morning, Sean. Good, mate.
Good, good. Hey, just before we kick it off, obviously, big news. When I was actually ironically speaking to Pat when this news broke, but when I... Shane Christie, obviously he died on Thursday. Circumstances still not, they haven't made really clear yet. We probably won't find that more until the autopsy is done. But you just wonder how many more will die, how many more head injuries, and how and whose responsibility is it? Should New Zealand Rugby as much, and also the Players Association, the NRL, all these professional competitions in Australasia really need to come together, because this is going to be an ongoing problem. I have concerns. I feel like every time we see a big hit in a big stadium, I feel like we're at the Colosseum in Rome watching two gladiators going for it. It really does concern me. I'm going to start off with you, Pat, on the subject.
Yeah, look, it's sad news, obviously, and concerning, as you say, coming so quickly after Billy Guyton, a close friend of Shane's, who it looks like passed away in similar circumstances. So, look, no easy answers, but hugely concerning. New Zealand Rugby are saying the right things, and presumably World Rugby too, if they were quoted on it. But you just have to hope that they're not minimising things, you know, to potentially limit their exposure to class actions, which are actually ongoing in the UK in particular. So, look, yeah, very, very sad news. You know, it goes without saying that Shane was a great guy. I didn't know him, but I know guys who did. And, look, there are risks in contact sports. It happens in the NRL as well, and rugby league. I would say is that I think rugby are probably a bit closer to finding the right track than league is. But sad news.
Absolutely, Sean.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head there, Pat, with minimising it, because this is such a red hot topic for them, because if they almost show too much concern, they've opened themselves up, but they've got to show concern. But where is this where does this go? Because this happens all over the place. I mean, I just look at this whole play at straight thing that was going on. This whole thing's happening everywhere. American football is horrific. I heard the Merton's podcast on that Between Two Bears, and he talked about players coming back to club rugby, and they talked about how big and strong and ferocious professional players are now, and the level they're at. And you've got to wonder if it's got to the stage where the heads especially can't handle the ferocity of the impact and the way the game's played.
Yep, and I'd have to say that the concerning thing is that this yeah, you hope this is the last one, but yeah. We just need to, you know, I think we just need to just take a step back and have a look.
Yeah, so I'm going to think on this. The whole CTE thing, the horrific thing with it, for people that haven't followed it closely, it can't be diagnosed until the person's dead. And so this is this awful situation we're in, and it's so hard to sort of research. And the incredible thing is that he'd given his... donated his brain to look into this. He actually did that when he was looking after his mate, the guy. Mm-hmm. So it's horrifically sad, but it's such a tough situation. But they have got to work it out. They've got to find out a way to assess this properly. They're not as good as we are moving away from this whole thing of hey, chuck it up, it's not a problem, just play on. I think we've gone past that. Mm. Remember the days, Pat, we played, we, you know, people would be scared to say that they'd been knocked out because they'd want to sit out some games.
Yeah, I mean, they're proper guidelines around it now, starting from junior rugby, which I'm involved in a coaching capacity, and you know, and like professional players have doctors looking after them now as well on a full-time basis. So it's probably just about as safe as you can make it in terms of the professional game. Is 12 days enough of a stand down after a concussion injury? I'm not sure, but I'm not an expert. Potentially not, but the experts, you know, the doctors and things that are looking after players will probably know better than me.
Absolutely. So we move on to the All Blacks versus Las Pumas last week, and we, as we look towards next week, the big match against South Africa. I just really feel that I think the All Blacks got outplayed and got outpassioned by Argentina. Just your thoughts there, Pat?
Yeah, agree. You know, in the old days, the All Blacks probably would have found a way to win it, but I think those days are well and truly over. That's a testament to, you know, the more competitive nature of Test rugby at the moment, I think. Everyone's improved across the board, probably at a quicker pace than the All Blacks, to be fair. I think sort of heading towards the next test against the Springboks, which is obviously a hugely anticipated test at Eden Park next Saturday, I think Razor will have to make some changes. And he'll have to make some changes to that back line because something's not working. The pieces aren't fitting. I'm not sure the game plan's working either. So he's got a bit of thinking to do over the next few days.
Sean, just your thoughts on that performance against Argentina.
Yeah, and we said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I think we saw it with France. There's a test rugby. To be a test player is a different level. And I feel that some of the players that have come into the All Blacks, this wider squad, some players I truly don't believe are not truly test players yet. And I cite back, you look at, say, Martin Nono, who could be a bit average in Super Rugby, but put on the black jersey and he was a test player. He never failed to perform in that. It's a different level, there's a different time and space, and they're not creating that now, especially in the back line. Whether it's passion or whatever it is, Argentina came and played like a test team, and they beat us in that test, simple as that. And look, I don't know, I'm bloody anxious for next week, Pat. What do you feel about the season fortress?
I'd be anxious if I was coaching a team that made one line break in the entire game. And that's the reality. Pumas made six. The All Blacks didn't make one in the second half. What I would say, though, Sean and Eamon, I think there will be a response. There has to be, because it was unacceptable. You know, without going over the top, that was an unacceptable performance from the All Blacks. I think there will be a response. There generally is. But in saying that, Eden Park, it's, you know, 50 tests unbeaten there now. I think that record will weigh heavily on the All Blacks. I've written about it recently on One News, and I do believe that there is huge pressure on the All Blacks and less so the South Africans.
Absolutely.
Well, and true. And I tell you what, too, we need more players that have performances like Sabir to a different extent to Jordan that can actually, you know, ignite. But I feel like Sabia stands up so high above everyone else in the way he plays. I don't know, it just seems more energy there. Maybe I'm looking at it probably a little bit shallowly because I'm not writing the match report, Pat, but it seems there isn't enough of that.
Look, he's a special player, Sean, and I guess, you know, to look at the bright side, New Zealand's pretty lucky to have him. I feel he's the best player in the world. And, you know, he's a very good leader. And so I think, you know, the rest of that team probably need to try and get to the level that he is.
Absolutely. Anyway, we look at NPC. Pat, you were out at North Harbour Stadium. Terrible conditions out there, but obviously Bay of Plenty won. Big weekend. A big weekend of NPC, probably headlined by that Ramphilly Shield Challenge Waikato Southland. I'm just going to say something. Auckland, the NPCs and the teams in the Auckland region are in a terrible spot.
Yeah, they're not going that well, are they? I'd say there'd be a few reasons for that. You look at that Auckland squad, it's very, very young. Caleb Clark, he's playing for them this weekend, and he's one of the older guys in the squad. Is he 26, I think he is?
Yeah.
Most of them are under, the vast majority are under 25. And I think that's probably an issue. Arbor, similarly. Well, obviously they don't have as many players to select from, but really if you look at that Harbour competition, club competition, there's only a couple of clubs that are truly competitive and consistent. That's an issue for Auckland, but, you know, to look at the rest of the country, Canterbury going pretty well, our old province guys, and Wellington.
Yeah, and just some news coming out of the MPC. Kyle Preston has been withdrawn from the Wellington team. Now, that you can lead into it what you can, but when I look at this Auckland rugby situation, like, I look at the Auckland MPC side, like, I look at North Harbour, that is a very club-orientated side. They've only two or three competitive clubs. You look at Counties Manukau, Rion Graham, he's made a decision that, hey, if you want to play for Counties, you have to align yourself to a club. They've only got four or five senior teams, and, you know, you can give them a bit of slack. You can probably give North Harbour a bit of slack. Yeah. Auckland, they're picking a lot of young guys. Basically, if you're playing club rugby at 25, you're probably considered too old, or time has passed you by, which is silly because, you know, we look at some of the other provinces. They're willing to give someone a go. I think we've got too tied up in academies. I think the other thing too is players now, rugby's now living, so they'll go to a competition like the Major League Rugby, which I think is probably on the same level as club rugby. It's a terrible competition, to be honest with you. It hasn't helped American rugby. In fact, it's been to the detriment of American rugby.
Yeah, and the competition is in trouble too. And, there's a few clubs that are collapsing due to financial issues. And but one club is actually propped up by World Rugby, which is sort of a feeder club to the national side. So yeah, I mean, as you say, Armand, if you have ambitions, you're probably going to leave Auckland and either sort of play overseas for some money or go somewhere else and maybe play league.
Sean, sorry.
Oh, no. Look, hey, remember I've talked about this on and on with Damon over the years. Remember the Lahore report back and we got pulled in as media to talk about it and what was going to happen with rugby. I remember thinking at the time that the moment Super Rugby came in, MPC dropped down a level, that pushed everything down. I go past the Suburbs Club on a Saturday and near home and I see it full of people. There's still a heart in rugby, but I think we've got to work out what is the actual pecking order here. And I still believe that we should make MPC Super. But now Aussie rugby's got strong again. Maybe I can eat my words. But I will say what is special, and maybe I'm being a traditionalist. And Pat, you remember 30 years ago, you and I actually went 95 in Canterbury and South and had that Shield game.
Yes.
And the Ramsey Shield is still bloody important. And tomorrow, Southland are trying to break a hoodoo. I think the most unsuccessful team in recent years in challenging for the Shield. But the Shield remains that one sort of golden piece of provincial rugby.
Yeah, fantastic. And I was there when Southland won against Canterbury in 2011 too at Rugby Park. And so fingers crossed for them. This weekend, but you're right, Sean. Tradition means a bit in sport and especially rugby. So in terms of doing away with Super Rugby, I think what it really comes down to is broadcasting money, and so it's not going to happen in a while. But yeah, there's still something special about provincial rugby in New Zealand and club rugby, to be fair, because I've been along to my club North Shore in Auckland quite a bit over the last couple of years, and it's a special atmosphere down there, and there's probably more engagement at club rugby level than MPC.
Absolutely.
And I'd have to say this, you both years were there. I remember watching Auckland taking on Southland in 97. I believe somebody was told to stop clapping and stop cheering in the press box, Pat, and I think, I won't name who it was.
Really?
That might have been me.
We've all done it, mate.
Yeah, I've done it.
I had to be advised.
Yeah, well, I'd done it in the press box at the Gallagher Shield Fighter where I got a bit excitable. Thank goodness Pat was there to calm me down because I think some of the officials at Auckland Rugby Union were shaking their heads. So that's why I've never been invited back, probably. But when we look at the weekend, I really hope Southland win because I think the Shield, when it's in the region, it gives it so much. But I have to say this, it's like, you know, they've got Canterbury up next and while I'm a Cantabrian, I just want to keep the Shield in the region. So I just think it means more to them than it does in the cities. But anyway, we move on. Warriors, Sean, mate, were you out at Go Media?
Yep. Yeah, I was. They started so terribly. I thought, good, they're going to finish good. But, man, it is a roller coaster, you know, being a Warriors fan. And I still can't see how that was a knock-on at the end because I think he was facing the other way. But, you know, that's the way the NRL goes with these calls. I watched the drop ball, and I swear to God it hasn't been a knock-on, but they love almost a knock-on. A drop ball means a scrum. They love to do that. That's the NRL. But, mate, now it's out of their hands, and, you know... I don't know. Look, all I know is it's a fantastic event to be there, and I didn't think the highlight would have been Peter Ulich singing Bliss, but still, it was, Oh, man. I tell you, it's not good for your heart, boys.
It was another full house, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just over 25,000 that, which they would have to be the best or the second best attended NRL team, I'm sure of it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I think the numbers are good. And I think, you know, I think we've spoken about this in the past. You know, when you go to Go Media Stadium, Mount Smart, or whatever you call it, it has a special atmosphere, and we see it with the Warriors, we see it with Auckland FC. It just has it feels like a family atmosphere. That's just the way I see it, guys. Anyway, Sean, Liam Lawson, 14th in the second practice run, a big end part of the season on F1 for Liam.
Yeah, look, he's pretty solid. I mean, I've just looked at the car. It's loses a lot in the high-speed corners to the McLarens and whatnot. The McLaren looking good. They did wrap up the season in Azerbaijan, by the way, which I thought was quite interesting. But, no, Liam, solid start, quick in the hedge up, but he had a bit of a tough time, and he's going to lose grid positions with the engine swap. But, obviously, this is the track where he broke through when he filled in a few years back, so this could be... You know, we know he can perform there, but he's playing down this whole momentum thing. But I think he needs to take it when it's going well because they're looking good and they practice better than what's going to be the RD team, the state team. So I'm excited to see him back, Amy. So I'm excited to see him back after the break.
Yeah. I have to say, so am I. I'm really looking forward to this back end of F1. I'd be interested to see how Liam goes, you know. I think he's just, it's clicked for him. He knows he's a he's Racing Bulls driver. He's probably going to be a Racing Bulls next year, but a few top 10 finishes. And when you look at it, there's been so many changes. Of course, Mr. Horner has moved teams.
See you guys later.
Which is, in a way, that's good for Liam because his Racing Bulls boss is now running Red Bulls. But I think Liam, I like where he is right now. I just don't feel good about the Red Bull car. It's a bit of a handful. I think Liam's doing really well, but the key for him has to be to match and beat a Hedger. That's the big thing. Isaac is a special young driver. And, you know, when it comes down to it, your biggest competitor is your teammate. But look, we've just had two practice sessions. We need to see what quality happens overnight tonight to really get a good idea. I mean, we saw Alonso splitting the McLarens at one stage, so don't take too much into it, but it's a really good start for him.
Absolutely. The rumours of Christian Horner going to Cadillac, well, I'll see it once I believe it, so that's it. But I'm just going to bring you in, Pat. Joseph Parker, I spoke to David Higgins a few weeks. It looks as though that there's nothing happening there at the moment.
Well, he's a mandatory challenger to USIC's WBO belt. And I think the latest is that USIC has asked for a delay, some negotiations over a fight, which, you know, to hear that, I guess it's reasonably encouraging for Joe. But, you know, he just has to sit and wait, really, and he's been waiting a long time already, so it's tough for him. I don't think he can afford to have a fight against anyone else, or certainly no one else half decent, because it's just too much of a risk. So I think he'll be putting all his chips in that basket and hoping for a WBO world title belt, which hopefully, if USIC still has all the belts at that point, it'll be for Undisputed, which will be pretty special.
Yeah, I think it will be special. I know, speaking to David a few weeks ago, and it seems as though that the negotiations were going on, and this was about, they've extended it now, guys, but I just, yeah, the more I see it is, maybe this will happen, or whether, if it doesn't, we know that Joe will be fighting for at least the WBO championships. And just also with you, your employees, TVNZ, a great week for them as well.
Yes, we've just announced, TVNZ's announced that we have the rights to, exclusive rights to the FIFA Football World Cup next year in the USA. So, yeah, fantastic. And a bit of a game changer for TVNZ and, you know, potentially football in New Zealand. So, yeah, great news.
Yeah, just on that, Sean, you know, you were at TV3 when you guys won the rights to the 2007 World Cup. It's huge, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's huge. But, I mean, the difference with the Rugby World Cup is it a couple of things. It's dependent on the All Blacks, and that wasn't the year to be hosting the World Cup when it came to the All Blacks. But what's really cool with this, with the, you know, what TVNZ are doing, is that the on-demand nature now of the online side of it is huge.
Yep.
And also the timing of the American game should be good for us, Pat.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. I was going to say that time zone is perfect. So it'll be afternoon kickoffs, I think. And, every game is available to watch, and you don't have to pay for every game. You can watch some stuff free too, so there's something there for everyone.
I think they need to be congratulated, TVNZ, and I think when you have a look at it, like, yeah, it's going to be a pay. I heard Mel Robinson on another radio network, and I know it is going to be painful, but I think it's going to be affordable as well too, which I think this is going to be a game changer. And I think congratulations to TVNZ. They've had a hell of a good week, and it's great to have 3D sports, especially for the All Whites.
And Pat, what was the one in Aussie with? Was it Stan or someone? Did they get something like 100,000 subscribers when they announced they had the World Cup?
I actually don't know, mate. I'm sorry, but
yeah, it was a massive boost in subscribers instantly when they announced they had it.
That's right. So yeah, we'll have eyeballs on TVNZ Plus, which is TVNZ's streaming service, and potential subscriptions plus eyeballs for advertisers. So yeah, I mean, everyone's a winner.
Absolutely. Just on that note, we'll just close it up. Best of luck to St Thomas's in the National Rugby League, New Zealand National Rugby League Secondary Schools Championship. Let's make it 3 in a row, and you guys both have a good weekend.
Cheers,
thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Good talk, Sean.
Cheers. Thanks, Pat. Bye. That's us done. Have a good weekend, everyone.